Our gospel reading is Mark 16, verses 1 through 8. Listen for the gospel of the Lord. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed, for you are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's been raised. He's not here. Look, there's the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The Gospel of the Lord. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for your victory over sin and death on the cross and in the resurrection. Help us to hear your word and to come to know you in the power of your death and in the strength of your resurrection. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I used to have a really hard time with Easter. Before that, I loved Easter. It was fantastic. Jesus Christ is risen, all that. It was this powerful, beautiful, inspirational thing. Then I got thinking. Nothing wrong with thinking. Thinking is great. It's one of my favorite things to do. But what happened was I started looking at the historical evidence for the resurrection that I'd been raised to believe, and it didn't add up. Took philosophy class. I read all the philosophy texts and stuff. I read C.S. Lewis's stuff. I should point out, my philosophy professor was a Christian, a devout Christian. As far as I know, he still is. The problem I had was the more that I read, not of arguments against Christianity, but actually in arguments for it, specifically arguments for the resurrection, the less I found it compelling. I read, I believe, the best arguments for the resurrection. N.T. Wright's argument in Surprised by Hope was especially disappointing because I love N.T. Wright, and he is brilliant. But when I read the section on the resurrection in Surprised by Hope, I was just sorely disappointed. I thought, there are all kinds of ways around these arguments. I was not convinced. I heard at one point Jay Baker, the son of famous televangelist Jim Baker, I believe. I heard him say that he only believed in all of this maybe 50% of the time. I think it was Nadia Boltz-Weber who said that the creeds say we believe because maybe not everyone believes everything, but collectively all of us, between all of us, we believe in the creeds, in all of the pieces of the creeds together. That worked for me. I really liked the Sunday after Easter because it talked about Thomas, who didn't believe that the resurrection had happened until he literally had the opportunity to put his fingers through Jesus' hands and his side. I really liked Advent. I still really like Advent because there was this unknowing, this sense of doubt, and we don't know, is Jesus ever going to come? Is anything going to come of all of these promises or not? For me, Advent, not just Advent, but also Good Friday, Holy Saturday, they're filled with doubt and uncertainty. I still love those seasons, but things have changed for me somewhat. But the doubt, it worked really well for me. I was comfortable with it. I carried it with me to seminary, believe it or not, because I went to seminary because I thought it would be fun, and it was, for me. I really enjoyed seminary, but I went without a kind of without being able to say, oh, I believe in the resurrection. I encountered a textbook in seminary by a guy named Bart Ehrman. It did me the service, disservice of turning my doubt into certainty that the resurrection had not occurred. He argued that maybe you could maintain the resurrection as a point of faith, but he said as a historian, you can't believe in the resurrection. Because if it was any other book other than the Bible that claimed that someone was raised from the dead, and there are a lot, you would assume from a historical standpoint that there had to be some other explanation. No matter how strong the evidence, no matter what verdict it supposedly demanded, if you come to a story that says someone was raised from the dead, you have to assume that there was some other explanation. So, like, for example, they would say, who would die for a lie? Well, no one, unless A, they believed that the lie was more important than their lives, or that they believed it completely. So that doesn't fix it. Whatever the evidence, whatever your logic, if you're a historian examining claims that someone was raised from the dead, you have to assume that those claims are false, and you have to look for alternative explanations. I was fine with this doubt, or this new certainty, whatever, except on Easter. On Easter Sunday, I was surrounded by people who believed in the resurrection, and that made it really hard. I didn't believe in the resurrection. I could not. It didn't add up. I was literally in seminary, and as you may know, the main goal of being in seminary is to become a pastor. And I didn't believe what is the central tenet of the Christian faith. Paul writes, if Christ is not risen, your faith is in vain. I can work around that. Except on Easter. This sermon isn't called Why I Don't Believe in the Resurrection. It's called Why I Believe in the Resurrection. So I want to share three stories now of how I came to believe in the resurrection. Number one, I think it was maybe February of 2017. I was in seminary and I was in class and the professor was brilliant, very smart, very well read, brilliant mind. He explained, like, this is a guy who would explain the Trinity in a way that you would go, oh yeah, I think I understand that. That is not an easy thing to do. I have been in classes where they took long periods of time to explain the Trinity, and you just go, huh? I don't know if I could explain it to you right now, but in that moment in that class, I felt like I could explain how the Trinity was supposed to work. But anyway, in that class in February 2017, this professor made an argument for the historicity of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that we would all be raised, and I did not buy it. Didn't think it was compelling. But that night, I went to a conference. It was the Gay Christian Network Conference in Pittsburgh, and I heard the story of a young man named Tyler Clementi who had died. And I could probably pick out the spot in the room where I was standing where I saw, in my mind's eye, Tyler Clementi embraced by Jesus Christ, embraced by a man with nail prints in his hand. I couldn't prove it with science, but I knew as surely as I was breathing that he woke up in the arms of Jesus. It occurred to me that this was impossible if Jesus Christ was not risen. The resurrection had to be true. But I guess I wasn't fully convinced because Bart Ehrman, all the philosophy and everything was just still in there making its argument. So the thing is, to become a candidate, this is story number two, to become a candidate for ordination in the Pueblo Presbytery, they required me to turn in a preliminary statement of faith. While I was writing it, I realized that my deepest beliefs required the resurrection. I tried to find what I had written for them, but I wrote this. When I talk about the cross, I'm talking about the love of God expressed in Jesus, accepting the rejected, loving the hated, healing the sick, and loving those that the gatekeepers of righteousness say should not be loved. I see Jesus associating with tax collectors and prostitutes, and since the religious elites couldn't get dirt on him, couldn't stop him from being with the wrong people, they decided to kill him. When I talk about the cross, I'm talking about the way God loved the wrong people and the right people punished God by killing Jesus. When I talk about the cross, I'm talking about a world where fear and hatred and death get the last word. But when I talk about the resurrection, I'm talking about a God who takes it, who takes all of it, takes it all the way to death, all the way to the execution of God, not returning evil for evil, and then comes back. When I talk about the resurrection, I'm talking about a world where love, not death, not fear, not hatred, not anger, but love gets the word after the last word. So when I had to write about what I believed in a statement of faith for the presbytery in Colorado, while I was writing it, I realized that my deep Christian, my deep core beliefs that death will always be defeated by life and by love were incompatible with my confidence, with my knowledge that the resurrection is impossible. And then I realized that I didn't care. For this to be true, for that death is overcome by life, the resurrection has to be real. And I wrote, I don't want to live in a world where this isn't true. I said everything that I believe most important hangs on the resurrection. It hinges on the resurrection. Story number three. It was Easter Sunday in 2018, 3 years ago. In spite of both of these stories and me being able to say, okay, this is enough that I can limp along and say that I believe in the resurrection. In spite of all that, I was driving to Old Union Presbyterian Church in Mars, Pennsylvania. Mars is a real city in Pennsylvania. Pete backed me up on that. He's been to Pittsburgh. They have a spaceship. Not like a spaceship, it's like a mini UFO. Anyway, I was driving to Old Union in Mars, Pennsylvania for an Easter sunrise service. I took this picture that you can probably not even see on Easter Sunday. It was an hour and a half before dawn, probably, and it was really dark, as you can see, but I was driving north on Route 8 on my way to the sunrise service, a service that celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I was not happy. I was irritated, and I'm driving before dawn. I'm awake. I'm tired. I'm not a good person to be around early in the morning when I'm tired, and was just majorly down. I was mad about being up so early, and I was tired, and just in general, I was filled with this disbelief. So I decided to listen to some Easter music that I had on my phone, maybe get me in the mood or something, and I started playing these songs. There's High Noon in the Valley of the Shadow. It's by Andrew Peterson, and he sort of turns the resurrection into a gunfight between Jesus and the powers of darkness that would, or the powers of sin and death. It's a good song. And Arise My Love by the band New Song. And as I was driving up Route 8, I found tears in my eyes from these songs about an event that I didn't believe in. And right about then, I could probably show you where I was on Route 8, when I remembered the end of this line from Friedrich Buechner. It's the last sentence in his book, Telling the Truth. He writes, "Finally let the preacher preach this overwhelming of tragedy by comedy, of darkness by light, of the ordinary by the extraordinary, as the tale that is too good not to be true, because..." And this is the part that came back to me. "To dismiss this story as untrue is to dismiss along with it that catch of the breath, that beat and lifting of the heart, near to or even accompanied by tears, which I believe is the deepest intuition of truth that we have. That beat and lifting of the heart near to, or even in my case, accompanied by tears, which he believes is the deepest intuition of truth that we have. That was it for me. I didn't find any new historical evidence for the resurrection. If you're looking for historical evidence, it's never going to outweigh the plain fact that people don't rise from the dead, not generally, not after they've been gone for 3 days. Not after they've been executed by professionals. If you want me to prove historically why the resurrection definitely happened, like that you like twist your arm behind your back and make you believe it, no, I can't do that. But I believe it. I believe that with Christ we too will be raised. I believe that what happened to Jesus Christ on Easter will happen to all of us, will happen to the entire universe. And all the evidence in the world to the contrary doesn't amount to enough substance to fill a thimble. Do I still have my doubts? Sure. Even about the resurrection. But as Rachel Held Evans said, the story is worth being wrong about. She said that the resurrection, the story of Jesus, is the one that I'm okay with being wrong about. When Easter Sunday rolls around now, well, I'm here to celebrate the triumph of life over death. I literally listened to those songs as I was driving here. I was surprised. I still had tears in my eyes driving through Benton Harbor going, okay, yeah. Still gets me every time. All the death that ever was, as Andrew Peterson said in a different song, all the death that ever was, if you set it next to life, I believe it would barely fill a cup. The family Slavojevich is going to sing He Lives Now. For a long time, I kind of poo-pooed that song because the idea that he lives within my heart, that's not evidence, that's not proof. You can't externally verify it, you can't do science on it. As a historian, you can't go back and find proof for it, but I've come to see that even if it's not evidence in that way, it still counts as a way of knowing. That knowing Christ lives within our hearts, and it might even be more important than science, history, whatever. Could you share that song with us now?